is 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick in Washington. When shots ring out at a school, something has already gone very, very wrong. With guns, with mental health care, maybe with parenting. No matter the cause, tragedies like Parkland and Sandy Hook and dozens of others bring trauma and fear to survivors. It's not surprising, maybe, that schools across the nation now are doing everything possible to be prepared for a shooting, including active shooter drills and lockdown exercises. And they hire outside firms to do it. Well, a pair of teachers' unions now say the drills themselves invoke anxiety and trauma in students, and that in a world where school shootings are terrible but rare, the exercises are just not worth it. We're going to hear from teachers and students and security experts, and we've been hearing from you too.
Hi, my name's Tracy. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was in high school when the Columbine shooting happened, and I remember doing two or three of them as a junior and senior in high school and having even an active lockdown drill. And I just remember completely feeling unsafe and scared.
My name is Maria, and I'm calling from Lexington, Massachusetts. I have three children in the school system here, and they do have frequent shooter training drills. My daughter, who is now going to be graduating from the high school, has frequent dreams about shooters coming into the school, and it really makes me upset.
Hi, I'm JC from Durham, North Carolina. I have a 7-year-old son, and he is upset this year because he's in class with a girl who is afraid of the dark and cries. And he told me, I'm just sure if there's a real shooter, I'm going to end up getting shot because this girl starts screaming during lockdown. And as you can imagine, as a parent, it's very sinister and alarming to me, the psychological damage that this is doing to our children.
Thank you to Tracy and Maria and JC for sharing your stories with us. Joining me now from Northern Virginia is Lexi Gagan. She's a senior at Princess Anne High School. Lexi has experienced active shooter drills and lockdowns at school. Lexi, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Lexi, can you tell me how active shooter drills and lockdowns work at your school?
Typically, there is an announcement that goes over the head speaker, and we're told that it's a drill and to induce lockdown procedures where we all hide in a corner and shut the blinds and lock the door.
And how often does this happen at school?
Probably about twice a month.
And what do the students say about these drills? What do kids talk about when they talk about the twice-a-month lockdown drills?
I think, sadly as it is, a lot of people look at it as an inconvenience, and they talk about it really unserious, with a sense of unseriousness, and as well to the teachers.
The teachers talk about it the same way, that they're sort of unserious and not needed?
Not that they're unneeded, but a lot of times teachers act like it's an inconvenience when it just feels like our lives.
An inconvenience and a disruption to the school day. Well, we got this voicemail from another current student sharing how they feel about active shooter drills at their school. Here's what they had to say.
I go to school in Rockville, Maryland, and when we have active shooter drills, I feel anxious, powerless, and scared. Although I knew it wasn't real for us, I still was upset by the fact that it was a reality for so many others.
Well, Lexi, there's one student from Rockville, Maryland, not too far away from where you live in Northern Virginia. Maybe you don't feel quite the same way, anxious and powerless, but I don't know. How does it make you feel when these drills go down?
A lot of times when I'm in a classroom, even when the drills aren't going on, I'm looking for like what I would do in that situation. And it feels scary. And in Virginia Beach, we did have a mass shooting less than a year ago at our municipal center. So it does feel real and it does feel like it could happen to us. But it feels like not everybody around us feels the same way.
It's a strange kind of paradox, isn't it? On the one hand, it is scary and it does make you nervous with very good reason to have the potential for violence in the background of your school day. And on the other hand, people just think it's kind of inconvenient and disrupts everything they're doing. Is that right, Lexi? I mean, does that feel a little strange?
It feels like as students, we value our lives and we value other people's lives, but only to a certain extent when it doesn't bother other people.
Well, what do you mean by that, when it doesn't bother other people? Tell me what you mean.
If we're taking a test or our teacher gets frustrated we want to feel for them and understand that, like, this isn't what they signed up for as educators. But at the same time, this is such a reality that is in our lives, and that drills are important to induce a sense of muscle memory when fear would take over if this were to happen to us.
Oh, that's interesting. So the inconvenience versus the preparedness, just the need to be prepared, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Lexi, I really appreciate you joining us. That's Lexi Gangan, a senior at Princess Anne High School in Northern Virginia. Lexi, thanks for taking the time to talk with us on a day off from school.
Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it. Well, let me add another voice to this conversation. Joining me in the studio is Evie Blod, an education policy reporter with Education Week. Evie, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, Lexi talked to us about having to do lockdown drills at school. Is a lockdown the same thing as an active shooter drill? There seems to be more than one thing going on here at schools.
Yeah, in these conversations, active shooter drill or shooter drills have become sort of a catch-all term. And there are several specific kinds of exercises that schools do. One is a lockdown drill, which is the most common. And that involves getting in the classroom, being quiet, shutting off the lights. And that was the kind of thing that some schools did before the fear of school shootings became so prevalent, because it can be a helpful safety tool for all kinds of things, including, you know, say there's a stranger in the building, all kinds of situations like that. But then there are types of shooter drills that are a little more controversial that involve simulations, that might involve increasingly teaching students how to counter or fight back. And that could involve, say, someone coming in the classroom pretending to be a bad guy, and students learn how to throw books at him.
Right. I mean, there are some pretty extreme examples of what these trainings can look like.
There are. And part of the issue here is that while there are some national groups that advocate for this training, a lot of them use a train the trainer model, which means it sort of filters out in a diffuse way. I teach you how to teach others how to do this drill. And sometimes some additional ideas get built into it. We've heard of schools doing things like asking kids to bring canned goods to keep in their desks that they would throw at a shooter. That's a pretty extreme situation. After Parkland, we heard of a school in Pennsylvania that put buckets of river rocks in their classrooms for students to throw. And the idea that you would involve children in that discussion when school shootings are so rare is something that has caused people to have a lot of pause. And there are some people who research school safety who say that these techniques are not really proven, and that they may be counterproductive or even dangerous.
Now, Evie, Alice Training is one of the biggest companies that provides these active shooter trainings, and one of the most heavily criticized. We reached out to Alice Training for this conversation. They weren't able to make anyone available. How has Alice Training responded to some of the complaints they've gotten from teachers groups and others concerned about the training in schools?
Yeah, so Alice is one of those that uses the train the trainer model. Alice stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, and Counter, which is the one that a lot of folks have a problem with, and then Evacuate. And there's a lot of variation in how that is taught. Sometimes the instructions on countering and evacuating are just given to adults in the building, but the complications come when you involve children.
Donald commented on our Facebook page, "I can see how simulations could be terrifying for kids. They don't need somebody running around firing blanks. When we grew up, we had fire drills and tornado drills, which were just a routine so that we knew what to do, but not so realistic that you couldn't sleep at night." We're talking about active shooter drills at school. Continue my conversation with Evie Blod, education policy reporter. It's 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google. From Connecticut to California, from Mississippi to Minnesota, millions of American businesses are using Google tools to grow online. The Grow with Google initiative supports small businesses by providing free digital skills workshops and one-on-one coaching in all 50 states, helping businesses get online, connect with new customers, and work more productively. Learn more at google.com/grow.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or perfect strangers? Get the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle so you can share what you know. On the News Roundup, find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, host of How I Built This from NPR. And on our latest episode, how Julia Hartz and her husband Kevin launched their ticketing platform Eventbrite from a closet in a San Francisco warehouse and today manage events in 170 countries around the world. Listen now.
It's 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're talking about the effectiveness of school shooter trainings with Evie Blod, education policy reporter at Education Week. We got this from Laura, who commented on our Facebook page. I went through my first active shooter drill when I was working in Virginia. This was for staff, most of whom would have to teach students these drills. We were asked to listen to audio from the 911 library calls from the Columbine shooting and watch animations of the Virginia Tech shooter. We were shot with a Nerf gun. An air horn was blown for shots fired that hit a body. We were taught to barricade doors, to throw things to confuse the shooter. I can't pick sides as to what the right thing to do is, but I know that it was disturbing and unsettling for me. And Evie Blod, that experience from Laura in Virginia sounds similar to some of the trainings you were describing, where people are taught to throw things at shooters or really kind of take an active role in incapacitating somebody who invades a school.
Right. And the way that that is billed is this notion that multi-active action response. So we don't want you to feel like a sitting duck. And I have talked to some teachers who say, done thoughtfully with just adults, that they feel like this gives them options, makes them feel more empowered. If an emergency were to happen, this is where I would evacuate. This is how I would handle it. And the Alice folks say the countering or the fighting back is the last step.
Let's go to Shaley, who's in Ohio. Shaley, you're in the sixth grade, right? Which makes you a middle schooler. You had active shooter drills when you were in elementary school?
Yes, I did.
And what were they like?
Well, I remember the teacher turning off the lights and we would all go spread around the room to the point, like, so that we were away from the windows where nobody would be able to see us. And they always told us that the principal would come and rattle the doorknobs to make sure all the doors were locked. And I remember it scaring me so much that it would actually be a shooter. And I knew it was always the principal, but it would always scare me. I knew it would to make us prepared, but it was still frightening.
Frightening. Shaley, do you remember sort of, you know, feeling more than one thing? I mean, I can totally understand why that would be scary and frightening. I think it would be for me, too. Did it make you feel any safer to know that the adults around you were getting you guys prepared?
It did make me feel safer, but there's still that little undertone of fear.
Yeah, safe and scared at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's Shaley in Ohio. Shaley, thank you for calling and joining our conversation on active shooter drills today on 1A. I want to bring in Melissa Reeves. Melissa is the former president of the National Association of School Psychologists and a nationally certified school psychologist. Melissa, welcome to 1A.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you just heard from a couple of our students calling in, real students with real life experiences. How are school psychologists dealing with students in this age of school shootings? What are they telling them? How are they helping them cope day to day, not only with the idea that a shooting could happen, but with the reality that shooter drills at school are a real thing and the adults around them think they're necessary?
Unfortunately, what is happening is that school psychologists are often brought into the equation after these kinds of highly sensorial experiences and drills are taking place. What needs to happen is school psychologists need to be brought in on the front end, where schools and school districts should have a multidisciplinary team comprised of a lot of different professional, you know, representation, balancing both physical and psychological safety. And school psychologists need to be involved in how the schools and the school district approach this kind of training in the first place. There's so many considerations that need to take place before these kinds of highly sensorial active shooter drills take place. You know, what is the trauma history of some of the staff and the students? Have we done a good job of walking them through in a calm manner? How, you know, what to do in situations like this? You know, are there mental health supports available if you have a student that becomes overwhelmed? The bottom line is school psychologists are not being brought into the equation in the planning stages. So then you have these approaches being taken that quite honestly traumatize students instead of preparing for them.
Melissa, what kind of complaints or concerns do you hear from parents in this regard, either in the generalized fear of a school shooting, but maybe more specifically, there are millions of kids across the country who come home from school and say, Mom, Dad, they locked the doors today. The principal was jiggling the door. I got scared. Tell me what parents tell you when they come to you.
Yeah, we are, you know, getting communications, anything from my five-year-old no longer wants to go to school. My high schooler no longer wants to go to school because the way that many of these drills are being conducted is eliciting fear instead of actually, you know, calmly teaching them what to do in a situation like this. So we're definitely seeing the negative impact that it's having not only on their, you know, mental health, but also we question how it's interfering with learning for many of these students and could also be staff members. How long does it take then for their body to be able to calm back down in order to be able to learn? So while many people say, oh, we're only doing this drill for 10 minutes, the impact that it can have on the brain and on learning could last the rest of the day, if not, you know, in the future to come, especially when you have students afraid to come back to school.
That's school psychologist Melissa Reeves. Let's go to one of our students on the line. Kim is in Florida, high school senior. Kim, you've experienced lockdowns for years, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And what has your experience been like?
I go to school 10 minutes from Parkland, and so having that experience be so close to home and then experiencing the aftermath of that, like, for the years to come, it was just, it's a really sobering experience. It's like, wow, that was almost us, but then it was literally like our friends. And so years since then, we've just been practicing code red drills and active shooter drills. And my junior year, even, we had another lockdown. And so just having all these drills be done, it's like, it's bringing up all the trauma that we're trying to move past. And I don't really feel like the drills are really effective to begin with because
First
hour of the day.
Kim, we lost you just for 1 second there, but I'm just curious before we let you go, how do you balance the emotional trauma of repeated drills? And I can't imagine what it's like for you to relive parts of being so close to Parkland. Balancing that with what must feel like the need for preparedness. Both things go on together.
I honestly don't even know because even as much as we try and prepare, there's always someone who they're preparing right there with us, but they might have other plans in mind. And so we never really know if we're actually going to be safe at school.
It sounds scary. Kim, thanks for calling. I appreciate you calling us on your day off from school. That's Kim from Florida. Evie Blod, we're hearing from students. We're hearing from psychologists. Teachers groups have been pushing back on active shooter drills, lockdown drills, a couple of major teachers groups. What have they said? What's the main complaint? What are they asking for?
Yeah, so it's not an all or nothing question. They say that if you do drills, you need to be developmentally sensitive. Think about a child's age. They're calling for an end to unannounced drills where a child doesn't know that it's a drill they're encountering. They're also calling for an end to simulated experiences with students where, you know, there have been instances where school police officers have fired blanks in the hallway to show the sound of gunfire and things like that. Some of the problem here comes when trainers teach students or teachers like they don't take these issues seriously enough, when what you've heard from these callers is this is a real thing that they think about all the time. And so teachers being showed footage of Columbine, so they'll take it seriously. They say it feels kind of insulting or unnecessary when this is a real part of their real life.
I want to bring in Joe Deedon now. He's an instructor at TAC One Consulting. They're a company that offers school and workplace active shooter trainings. Joe, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Joe, how do you think through what Melissa is talking about, the need for security, the need for preparedness, which is your job, but also the need to avoid unnecessary trauma? Is that part of your job, or is your job physical preparedness and make those kids safe from the potential, I hate to say it, but the potential of bullets and let somebody else worry about the scary part?
No, it's I completely agree with Melissa and Evie, and obviously some of the students that have called in too. Sorry, I've got a lot of notes here. I've been sitting for 30 minutes, so I'm kind of trying to. There's a lot of good points brought up by everybody. I guess the biggest thing to sum that up is it has to be done responsibly and has to be effective. So we can get into that, what our program is and how we plan with the school psychologists, the superintendents, the school boards, the parents. We send out letters. They're never unannounced.
How realistic is the training that you offer?
It's very realistic. So again, it's grade specific. So with your K through two, it's just very brief. It's 15 minutes. We actually sit inside the classrooms, and to Evie's point, we don't do a train the trainer. We're not an Alice. We're not watered down. We don't believe that people that shouldn't be there in front of, especially young kids or even workplace, for the unarmed response. It's a very, very complex topic, and it's probably the hardest topic we teach, right? We teach anything from a one-day active shooter for law enforcement to a 40-hour executive protection class for your governor, you know, state troopers who protect the governor. So I think it's a very, very complex topic. So it's very niche. So 15 minutes to little kids, it's literally a glorified little quick discussion about safety. It's a follow the leader, duck, duck, goose, hide and go seek. And then it ramps up as you get into the third to fifth. They're taught how to barricade the doors, how to evacuate in groups if they choose to evacuate, if they have an exterior exit. But it's all done where we don't come in here and put thoughts in their head. I guess the biggest thing here is whether we're doing the students, which is a 2.5-hour program, where we let them lead the discussion. We're not fear mongers. We don't come in there and talk to them about how it's going to happen and they need to be prepared. We have the discussion of a lot of these kids here is feeling, hey, what do you guys currently do? And their biggest thing is, well, we feel anxious. We feel helpless in these rooms when we do these lockdowns. And we tell them right off the bat, hey, we are coming here to empower you. I like Evie. I think she uses some of my terminology, maybe some of the emails I sent you guys. so we're on the same wavelength here. And we try to give them other options and then also take away that hero mentality and have realistic conversations with them. So we got plenty of time to talk about
that. That's Joe Deedon, instructor at TAC 1 Consulting. We're going to take a pause, talk more about active shooter drills, lockdown drills at schools across America. Stick with us. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from our sponsor, Target. Entrepreneur Ray Phillips reflects on the mentorship and support he's received from Target throughout his journey.
Really, to have a company like Target extend a helping hand and guide us along in the process, it makes all the difference for any striving company looking to play on a higher level.
Learn more about how Target supports diverse entrepreneurs at target.com/founderswelove.
Maddie Sofia here, host of Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR. Listen for new discoveries, everyday mysteries, and the science behind the headlines, all in about 10 minutes every weekday. So you come away a little smarter, or at least you look that way on trivia night. Listen and subscribe now to Shortwave from NPR.
Let's get back to our conversation about active shooter drills. We're talking with education policy reporter Evie Blod, school psychologist Melissa Reeves, and Joe Deedon, an instructor at TAC 1 Consulting. Jarrett tweeted this, "I understand people feel that school shootings are rare, but I live 2 minutes from University of North Carolina, Charlotte, very close to where the UNC Charlotte shooting happened in 2019. I was afraid to leave my house for fear the shooter would run near the major road that I live near. It was too close to home." And Laura tweeted this, "My daughter recently disclosed to a therapist that she has a recurring nightmare of being shot. We live in the suburbs. We have no guns in the home. She's taken part in active shooter drills since the second grade. She's now in the seventh grade." Melissa Reeves, school psychologist, past president of the National Association of School Psychologists. I would think that Laura's testimonial about her seventh grade daughter is probably familiar to you.
Absolutely, which is why we have to put way more careful thought into how we are approaching, you know, our preparedness in the schools. We are all in agreement, you know, that schools need to be ready for these types of situations. But how we go about doing it is where we need a lot more careful forethought and planning before schools just jump into this kind of training. We can walk them through it. We can talk them through it. and still have that as a critical foundation to being prepared without having to interject trauma.
Yeah, can I jump in on that?
Joe, quickly, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's what we do. Our stuff, just so that everybody knows here, we do not have a live gunman with any type of noise-making devices when we deal with the students. Now, yeah, sure, when we ramp up with the faculty, that's what we do, because they're adults, they understand the need for it.
Well, it's understandable how difficult, I hear what Melissa is saying, it's understandable how difficult it can be, that the need to activate certain aspects of vigilance in teachers and in students, and so that they can be prepared, very difficult to leave that vigilance in the classroom,
right,
and not carry it with you when you go home or when you're on the weekend or when you're with your friends and trying to grow up in a life where you don't feel threatened by violence all the time. Let's go to Will, who's in Bethesda, Maryland. Will is a sophomore. Will, how does this make you feel going through these drills? Do you feel safer or freaked out or a little of both? Or
good question.
I think a mix of both, because as scary as these realities are to us as students, I think we have to grasp the realities that we're handed. And so we've, at my school, it's not been super... It hasn't been a super bad reaction to it. We do feel safer in a way.
What do other kids say to you, Will, when they talk about the drills? Do you have friends who have lingering effects, makes them think about violence when they'd rather not?
Yeah, it does. My school had a threat like last year. It was apprehended before anything happened, but... it's definitely a very real reality to us because it did almost happen.
Will is in.
Can I ask Will one question?
Joe, hang on one second, just because I gotta get us to one or two other things. Will, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Well, we've been hearing from a lot of parents about how they feel about their child participating in lockdowns and other active shooter drills at school.
Hi, it's Lorena Kalamazoo. Our first grader came home after an active shooter training that we as parents were not made aware of. I appreciate administration wanting to prepare faculty and staff, but the children really should be kept out of these conversations, especially at such a young age.
Hi, my name is Anne Marie, and I live in Mexico City, Mexico, but I'm from the United States. I absolutely think they're necessary. All schools should do them in the U.S., unless our system is going to drastically change. It's the reality of the times we live in.
My name is Sarah, and I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. My daughter was doing an active shooter drill. It actually was not a drill. There was someone in the neighborhood, and so the school went on lockdown. She goes to a Spanish immersion school, and the teacher speaks Spanish and doesn't speak English very well. So the announcement came over the intercoms. The teacher turned to my daughter and asked her what was said, so she had to translate into Spanish that there was a shooter.
Melissa, that last caller certainly tells a story of confusion at a time when you hope confusion would be at least at a minimum when it comes to preparedness. And a caller who said her child is simply too young to be brought in on the details of what it means to have a threat in the school.
Yeah. And again, you can approach this through the lens of, you know, stranger danger. And like we do, you know, when we teach fire drills, letting them know that, yeah, you know, sometimes our safety may be at risk, but here's what we can do to try to keep ourselves safe. And then you calmly talk them through, or you walk them through and show them what they need to do. You don't need to interject hysteria and real strong emotion in order to be able to do that. And the analogies that I often use is, we don't light a fire in the hallway to practice fire drills, and we don't put kids on a street corner and have a stranger grab them in order to teach stranger danger. You know, there's ways that we can do this that, you know, where we don't need to elicit the fear response, because that can actually be counterproductive. And we also cannot assume that a one-size-fits-all approach works for everybody. So we need to be just much more cautious in how we go about, preparing for these kinds of situations in schools.
Joe Deedon, I'm interested in the balance that you draw. Look, school shootings, we hear about them all the time, and rightfully so, but they are relatively rare. There were 68 of them between 1999 and 2019. That's 68 in 20 years in America, and that includes shootings where one or two people died. Tragic, but not the mass shootings that we see on our televisions all too often. Just take just a minute, and I need you to be sort of brief, Joe, but how do you approach the balance, the need for preparedness for rare events versus the potential ongoing effect, the psychological effect of the training that you offer?
Yeah, I mean, not to reiterate what Melissa said, I wish I could talk about this too, but I agree with everything like that. If it's done correctly, it's not traumatic. It's done in steps. It's a conversation. It's not fear-mongering. But it's a life skill. We empower them. So, you know, they may not face it at school, but you've got young adults who go unsupervised to basketball games. They go, you know, to pick up their brothers and sisters after school for their parents in some communities. They go to the mall. They go to the Walmarts on the weekend. So as we talk to them, we incorporate them as a team effort, right? And it's low, very low stress. And I would love to have Melissa come out and give her opinion at one of our trainings, invite her for a whole 3-day exclusive look at it. Because her and I are on the same page, but I didn't get a chance to talk much.
So, Joe, I got to let you go, but before I do, there's one critical question
life
I want
skills
you
to, that these kids need to know.
I gotcha. I got one critical question I need you to answer.
When they don't have adults with you.
Joe, give me an example, if you have one, of a time when training like yours came into play in an active shooter situation and it made the difference. That preparedness, though rare, made a difference.
Yep, Santa Clarita, the new one. Okay, this kid did a school program and did an active shooter video for his kids, and he talks about it. He was right there in the open air. He was one of the six kids who didn't get shot when that guy pulled a pistol out in the school, what, 2-3 months ago, back in November. He did the drill. He through his training, he was the person who was evacuating and showing how to get back to room to barricade himself. And he said, by quick thinking, he didn't understand it, but what he did is he did through the visualizations of what if his school project 2 months prior to the shooting, he didn't freeze. He jumped into action. He ran into a room, helped the other kids find means to barricade the door.
And he was able to
talk about it.
He was able to make a difference there.
All right.
One case where it made a difference, that's Joe Deedon, an instructor at TAC 1. We're going to go Evie Blod. These trainings, I think, aren't going anywhere. They're expanding across America.
Yeah. And there's just a need to ask the questions about what's appropriate, what's effective, and how often they should be done.
Are there schools anywhere that simply are doing no trainings at this point, or are they pretty much everywhere?
That's a pretty rare thing, but there are some schools that take some different approaches. Instead of don't using phrase like bad guy or shooter, tell kids just how to take the steps and how to listen and what to do.
That's Evie Blod, education policy reporter at Education Week. I want to thank everyone who joined us for this discussion, including my callers, kids from around the country. Thanks for calling in. Evie Blod joined us. Melissa Reeves, school psychologist. Thank you, Melissa. Joe Deedon, you heard from, instructor at TAC 1 Consulting. This conversation was produced by Haley Blassengame and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington. It's distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you so much for being with us. This is 1A.